Well, hello, folks, and welcome to the craftbeerguru.com podcast. Sure is good to be here talking to you right now. Let me introduce you to what's going on here. You're probably pretty curious as to why you're listening to this, what to expect. Why is there music in the background? It's pretty amateurish, huh? Can't help that. You know what? We're going to keep this light, keep this fun little thing. So, my Pandora is going to be playing in the background. You might hear some Beatles, some Doors, who knows, some gangster rap. But really, this is a podcast, I guess you could say, about beer, in the sense that it is the craftbeerguru.com podcast. However, you know what? This podcast is influenced very heavily by another podcast. That one is the Joe Rogan Experience. It's kind of interesting. So, Joe Rogan, I'm not sure if you know who he is, but to me, he is a mixed martial artist analyst for the Ultimate Fighting Championship, the UFC. You've probably seen him on, if of course you don't follow UFC, you may have seen him on sitcoms or maybe in stand-up comedy or whatever. What's interesting about his podcast that I really enjoy is that he gets all kinds of crazy characters. Some of them related to mixed martial arts, some of them comedians, but some of them totally not. I know he had Chris Hadfield on the other day, who's an astronaut who was up on the International Space Station for quite a long period of time. But anyway, no matter the relationship, they talk about whatever. That's sort of what I want to happen here on this podcast. I want there to be a common bond of the enjoyment of beer, but I want the topics to be free-flowing and just hopefully fulfilling. It's sort of like I'm a hockey fan, right? So the way I look at it is, imagine if you told Ilya Gryzgalov to talk about beer. The next thing you know about, he might be talking about Saturn. That's what I'm aiming for here. It's just kind of like the same sort of BSing that people would do if they were sitting around a table, you know, drinking some beers. So with that being said, I welcome you to this first episode. Now, one of the first things I want to talk about today, it just happens to be not only a topic of mine, but a beer in my hand. The one I am drinking right now from Cigar City Brewing, which is from, I can't call it necessarily my hometown, but where I went to college at the University of South Florida. So this beer is their IPA, and I don't want to pronounce the name because I'm going to massacre it. But I'm sure you know what it is. If you are listening to this podcast, you probably have enough knowledge about craft beer to understand, or to at least to recognize what beer I'm talking about. Spelled JAI space ALAI. Probably. I think I spelled that right. And I said I wasn't going to try pronouncing it, but here I go. I think it's Ha'ala, like the sport. Apparently the fastest sport in the world, so they say. Anyway, I just want to talk about what I quickly think about this beer. I wasn't thinking this was going to be the subject of the podcast today, but just, you know, it's on my mind, so I wanted to mention some things in passing. I remember this being such a good beer when I had it down in Tampa, and you know what? It still is pretty remarkable. Although the last time I was in Tampa, I brought some home with me. I'm actually up in near Washington, D.C. right now, but it was canned a couple months, or yeah, actually a couple months prior to me drinking it. It really dropped off quickly. I've now discovered that it's in my distribution area. The Whole Foods up the street from me actually had, I guess it's Ha'ala. I should call it, you know what? Let's say it's the, we should give it a fancy name, something so I don't have to mispronounce its actual name. We'll call it the Subject Beer. So I found the Subject Beer in my distribution area. It was actually canned just last week, so it's just deliciously fresh. But you know, it's not quite the beer I remember it being. You know, it has a grapefruit thing going on. It kind of reminds, you know what it reminds me of, to tell you the truth? It's like Sculpin, from Ballast Point out west, and everyone loves Sculpin, of course. And so this is definitely good. And I would say it's even like Sculpin, it has a big grapefruit sort of splash going on. But then I would say that the Subject Beer is a bit more bitter. However, it's just not as good as I remember it being. I don't know what it is. I think maybe my palate has expanded since I had it the first time. I definitely have had much better IPAs since I last drank this, probably, or not since I last drank it, but since I first drank it. I go now for like a maybe a juicier, more like popping type thing. When I think of a really, really good IPA right now, off the top of my head, I don't know why this is coming out, but I'm thinking Hop Slam. Really like last year's Hop Slam. The Lagunitas sucks. No, Lagunitas doesn't suck, but the beer Lagunitas sucks. Delicious. That's what I'm looking for, and this is more on the end, on the other end of the spectrum, sort of being like a sort of more bitter, sort of, I don't want to say tart. Maybe that's the word. A little bit tartier. Tartier? Whatever. That's the word we're going to use. It's just a little different, and it's not really all it's cracked up to be. But anyway, that's just sort of a digression to talk about the subject beer from Cigar City Brewery. But fun times. So, we'll take a quick break. I am going to refresh. I'm going to move to something else. I would encourage you, if, of course, if we're going to break, but before we do, I would encourage you, if you have the opportunity, you're sitting in front of your computer, you are wherever you might be, maybe on a tablet, looking at your smartphone. Who knows? You're listening to this podcast, Loving Life. You should actually go to thecraftbeerbrewer.com. Check out my latest review, which is actually of the Big Bad Baptist, which is Epic Brewing's just friggin' wonderful Imperial Stout. Maybe we'll talk about that when I get back. If not that, I have some words in my head. I want to talk about DC's craft beer scene. In any case, I'm gonna refresh my beer. I appreciate you guys listening along. Be back in a moment. Thanks a lot. So I'm back. Anyway, hopefully the taking a break feature just worked in my podcast software. Like I said, totally working out the kinks right now. First time I've ever done this. So you're kind of a guinea pig along for the ride. But anyways, it's better that way. Finished off the subject matter beer from Cigar City Brewing. And totally gonna go a different direction than where I was intending because of what I am now sipping on. My God, probably, I don't want to be hyperbolic and say it's the best beer of the year, because it's certainly not that. There's definitely better, right? There's harder to get beers, there's things that are limited edition, there's really good things out there. But man, if I cannot stop drinking, you know, if I were to tell you I could stop drinking this beer, I'd be lying. It is from probably my favorite brewery, Lagunitas, Brown Sugar. Just so delicious. And what I find most remarkable about it, excuse me, is that it's unlike any other beer I think I've ever. I shouldn't say that. It's unlike any other beer I've had. Well, maybe that's true. I can't really find a beer in my head that I can compare it to. It's just its own thing. Like, it sort of has that Lagunitas IPA thing going on where, yeah, usually, if you know Lagunitas, they usually have a real big piney type thing going on, or like the fresh mowed grass thing. This has that slightly. I get more of a kind of a sour citrus thing going on. And then it's just smack in your face with, as the name suggests, brown sugar. It's just so remarkable and so different and so delicious, and I love it. It's just my favorite beer at the moment. But anyway, something I did want to talk about is the DC, Washington, DC, where I find myself, or at least in the vicinity of the craft beer scene, because it's sort of an interesting one. And it becomes more and more interesting to me the more I find out about it. Because, you know, I get to travel occasionally to the West Coast, and obviously, in the West Coast, you're within the distribution area of the best brewers in America, probably, or at least most of them. So, when you get to this area, you kind of feel like you're missing out. A fact that few people, I think, know, and it's kind of funny because I found out even some bartenders, even some longtime bartenders in some quote unquote craft beer bars in DC don't know, is that Washington, DC so far as I know, is the only place in the United States that is allowed to self-import. So what does that mean? Basically, if you are a alcohol retailer in Washington, D.C., you can go to any part of America where another beer or a beer is distributed. You can go there, purchase that beer, bring it back to Washington, D.C., and then sell it in Washington, D.C. That's actually against the law, so far as I know. I hope that I'm not saying anything that's, legally not true, but this is my understanding, is that that's not possible or that's not legal in any other state, just in the District of Columbia. So that makes for sort of an interesting thing, and it's kind of funny. There used to be a liquor store on Connecticut Avenue in Washington, D.C. that used to take advantage of that and had just a really diverse beer list. Basically, if you think about it, theoretically, it'd have as diverse of a beer list as anywhere in America. However, the popularity of that place actually overwhelmed the size of it, the actual like size of the facility itself. And the beer guy there, I was talking to him, he said he no longer does it. He literally was getting more business than he could handle. But anyway, so that makes for a really interesting thing in DC. I think the whole self-importing thing manifested itself best at DC's best craft beer bar, which of course is Church Key and Logan Circle. They, quite a few months back, had a Heady Topper Day. Of course, if you're a craft beer fan, you know Heady Topper out of the Northeast is one of the best beers in America, but it's distributed just locally. It's totally right within, I think it's produced in New Hampshire, maybe Vermont. It's one of the northeastern states that's just not hitting me right now. They used to actually sell it at the brewery. You could buy it in cans right there at the brewery, but I've actually heard that late or recently they've stopped doing that. So they can it, they distribute it, but just within like very local states, maybe just that one state. In any case, one day the Church Key folks, I guess, drove up there. I don't know how they obtained the beer, but they had a Heady Topper Day. Oh man, it was so epic. And then that's a word that I try not to use lightly. It was just so interesting that you look down the bar, and I'm talking, this was like 1 in the afternoon on a Saturday, so not like late in the day, just, on early afternoon. Bar packed, I'm talking shoulder to shoulder the whole way down at Church Key, and every single person was drinking from a big silver tall boy, a Heady Topper can. It was just so cool. So it makes for an interesting scene here in DC. But I found out last night, I had visited Church Key, I had a good time there, drank one of the better beers I've had in a really long time. It's actually the subject, I think I was referring to it earlier, the subject of my latest beer blog, but Epic's Big Bad Baptist, a big, huge Imperial Stout, whiskey barrel aged. But actually, after I went to Church Key, I stopped at Regional Food and Drink, RFD, in Gallery Place Chinatown because it's on my way home. And that place is sort of I don't want to say a dichotomy, maybe it's an enigma. It has a decent, actually has a really good beer list, I'd say, but just, I don't know how to say it. Like sometimes its staff is really good, it has a few really outstanding folks. But sometimes the beer knowledge is just lacking there. It's not like Church Key, where you can really get into a in-depth beer conversation with the patrons there and the staff. It's just different than that. Anyway, so I was mentioning to one of the bartenders who works there, and I know he's worked there for a really long time, at least as long as I've lived up here the past 2 years. And he had no idea about the self-import thing. So, it's kind of funny to me because I feel like if you are if you sort of categorize yourself as a craft beer bar and you're in DC, you would so take advantage of that situation. You would just put it out there. Also funny is that the entire staff at RFD last night were wearing Russian River apparel, like t-shirts that said Russian River or whatever. And it was so sort of, what's the word I'm looking for? Sort of Oh, disappointing in the sense that, you see Russian River and you want to order it, but they didn't have it. And that takes us down another path. I wonder if Russian River is all it's made out to be. I've had, going out to the West Coast a handful of times, I've had Pliny the Elder, never had the Younger. I've had the Elder, and it's pretty good. I'm not sure if it's. Actually, it was really, really good now that I think about it. So maybe it was worth the hype, and I'm sure Pliny the Younger is even better. And I've heard their sours are just friggin' amazing. But it's one of those things about hype beer is does it ever actually meet that anticipation? Anyway, so I just wanted to mention some words about DC. I'll probably get into talking a little about Church Key and my affinity for it. It's actually, before I go to break, there's actually some interesting things going on in DC. I haven't been there yet, but there's more and more breweries popping up. There's a place called Right Proper Brewery that just popped up, and then a carryover from Philadelphia. I think it's called City Tap House is now in Gallery Place, which is where I should have went last night after Church Key, but I failed to. And then, of course, the same group that owns Church Key, Neighborhood Restaurant Group, has their own brewery now down by Nationals Park called Blue Jacket, which I haven't been to yet. I've heard it's outstanding. They have like 25 house beers on tap, which is just remarkable. But I'm actually going there tomorrow with a buddy. Before going to the Capitals game, and when I say the Capitals games, I mean the Flyers game, because I'm a huge Philadelphia sports fan, and I got tickets for my birthday. But I'm gonna check out Blue Jacket tomorrow. I'm really looking forward to it. But that's just sort of it just goes to show you how the craft beer scene is really growing in DC with all these new sort of brew gastropub type things going on and. All these different, and even like the local bars are getting more and more taps with better selections of beer. On Capitol Hill, there's a place called Union Pub, which is an interesting place. My sister used to work there when she lived in D.C., and it used to have, as I recall, the run-of-the-mill, beer selection. Now they have like a whole craft beer can list, and they keep a chalkboard for that. And then on tap, they always have a decent. Well, I mean, it's not like a tap house. I think they have like six taps, but. Six really delicious craft beer taps. Anyway, I'm up on the break, so I'm gonna sit here enjoying my continuing classic rock. Got a little Sweet Home Alabama going on right now by Lynyrd Skynyrd. Other than that, hopefully you'll continue to enjoy the show, and I'll be back in a few moments. Thanks a lot.
Okay, tune in
Bye.
tomorrow. This company, I'm breaking up with.
All right, so I'm back, and we have switched over to apparently Pink Floyd playing on. The, I guess I should say the trademark Pandora. I don't know. I guess I'm giving a shout out to Pandora so they won't sue me. You know what? I want to kind of keep on the subject of Washington, D.C. beer. Although it's a growing scene, it's not a, I think relative to the West Coast, it's not a very respected one. Although we have some things going on, and I would love to hear input. I wish I had like a phone line right now. But I would love to hear input on the people who are around here and get what they think is Washington, D.C.'s very best beer. It's kind of funny in the online trading scene, there is one craft beer from D.C. that seems to be pretty popular, and that's from D.C. Brau, which is up in Northeast D.C. They have a beer called On the Wings of Armageddon, which I've only had on tap, but they've recently, actually not even recently, I think a few months ago, started canning. It's an IPA, India Pale Ale. It's so delicious. But you know what? My thing is that I'm afraid to almost say how delicious it is because I think I might be maybe a bit influenced by how fresh it is when I drink it. I've had it on cask at Church Key. Which is almost unfair because it's basically, it's almost like the hops were just pulled out of the ground and then they're barely even manipulated because they're in a cask and it was just like the most succulent, delicious thing ever in a glass. So I want to rave about it, but at the same time I want to sort of, kind of level myself out before I do it. So I would say probably, in any case, of DC beers on the Wings of Armageddon is probably the very best, and I wonder if there's any argument against that or what your suggestions would be. Some runners up would be Three Star Brewery, which is also in DC. It's not nearly as hyped as DC Brew. It has a beer called, is it Two of the Dome? I think it's Two of the Dome, also an IPA. I've had it in a couple variations. I've had it, just regular, but then I've also had it where it was, I believe, I think I've had it where it was, it had like a, some kind of fruit sort of infusion going on. Maybe I'm getting it confused with their peppercorn saison. But in any case, I thought that was a really good beer also. I remember it's kind of cool during the summer, this past summer, I was actually at the Reef at Adams Morgan, which is since closed, unfortunately. They had a rooftop bar and they had that beer on tap. And the owner of, well, actually, I should say the bartender was just raving about it. And the bartender was this gigantic personality, just a really interesting dude. And he was just like, just the perfect personality for being a bartender. You can go from side to top to side of the bar and talk to anyone and just articulated well and just had all these stories and just so witty. And it was interesting to find out because as we talked, he relayed that he was actually the owner of the Reef. So that was kind of interesting. And so it's sad for me to note that that place is no longer open, but that's where I had that beer at least one of the times. And I think that's pretty decent. Yeah, I think it's Two of the Dome, Three of the Dome, Four of the Dome. Who knows? Pretty sure it's Two of the Dome. That's great. Port City, which is actually here in Alexandria, where I'm at, and don't stop me, has a handful of beers that are pretty decent, but it has one that's just monumental. And it's funny, I just used the word monumental because that's the name of their IPA, but that's not what I'm referring to. They have a seasonal IPA. Maybe it's not even seasonal. I don't even know if they make it that often or regularly or on any sort of calendar, but they have a beer called Maniacal, which is just great. I recall having that at Smoke and Barrel, which is actually more of a whiskey barbecue place up in Adams Morgan in DC, but also has a really, really good draft list. I remember Maniacal being just so good. I recall after I had Maniacal, I commented that it was as good as all the seasonal IPAs I had had before, so I must have really liked it, although at this moment I can't really reflect on what any of the traits of the flavor profile were, but it was, I do recall it being just tremendous. But yeah, it's an interesting, just interesting little area we have here. While I'm talking about DC, might as well mention the best places to go in case you're ever in the area. Of course, for craft beer, you can't beat Church Tea. Best craft beer bar in DC. It's probably not even close. They take such good care of their lines, their tap lines. They have such a knowledgeable staff, and they do such a good job, and they go through the work of actually self-importing some beers. One of the bartenders, actually two of the, this, well, is a server and a bartender, and I'm not sure if they still work there because I haven't seen them in a while, were actually Shelton Brothers, and if that name is familiar at all, Shelton Brothers are some of the biggest beer importers in America. So Church Key, it used to receive a really healthy array of, foreign beers, I think, due to Shelton Brothers importing. So that's added to their intrigue. But it's just a carrot they put into their whole beer selection. Of course, their beer guru, Greg Enger, is sort of a rock star around here as far as the craft beer scene goes. I remember I was at some event at Church Key. I don't recall what the event was, but it was definitely a day where the bar was packed, and there was actually, like, I guess there was some sort of press there, and I saw Greg Enger walking around Church Key, and if the name doesn't resound with you, he's basically like the beer sommelier for the neighborhood restaurant group. So he selects beers for a handful of restaurants around here. And but he studied in such a good job that he made such a name of himself. At this beer event I was at Church Key, there was actually like a camera crew following him around. So like this place was just packed, and like he was like trying to get squeezed through, like, you know, putting his elbows up, shoulder to shoulder, bumping into people. And there was a camera person doing the same thing, you know, flashing going off and all that stuff, type of thing. So it made him really seem like a rock star. And so I've always sort of thought of that when I think of Greg Aaron. I think of Greg Aaron, the career rock star. Maybe that's what I aspire to. That and one day visiting the Joe Rogan Experience. So we can go podcast for podcast. But anyway, other good places to visit while you're in D.C., there's Meridian Pint, which is up near Columbia Heights. You know what? I gotta say, I've never actually been. Excuse me, sorry. The Beatles are getting kind of crazy in my Pandora right now. Going to skip ahead, though I like all their songs. Now I got an advertisement. Oh well. Anyways, Meridian Pint up in Columbia Heights. Pretty renowned for what they do with the beer thing. Pizzeria Paradiso, which I've never been to in D.C., although its location in DuPont Circle is supposed to have a great beer selection. I've been to the one in Old Town Alexandria, being that it's just, you know, across the highway from me, and really enjoyed myself. The guy who runs the whole beer scene there, I guess his name is Steve, which is a great name, by the way, was so knowledgeable. Really treated me to a really good day as far as conversation goes about beer, and really crafted the day as far as, like I said, I want this beer, but I want something, you know, I want to go this direction. He knew exactly what I was talking about. He actually got me, he went into the back, and I was telling him I wanted a stout, right? But I wanted something different. I'd been drinking a lot of Narwhal from Sierra Nevada. I've had my favorite stout, Pesh Motel, the Founder's Breakfast Stout. I wanted something just a little different, but still stout-like. And he totally hit the mark. He went in the back, and I wish I could recall what it was named. It was a Belgian stout, an extra special reserve. It was imported from Belgium, and it was just like a very effervescent sort of Sprite hopping, but yet chocolatey style. It was a very interesting, awesome thing. So that's a good place. And I've heard the location of Pizzeria Paradiso in D.C. is even better. So that's definitely worth checking out. Of course, there's regional food and drink in Gallery Place Chinatown, which, like I said, is totally hit or miss. It's one of the more touristy areas of D.C., so you do have to deal with that. There is bar staff that's... So convey this wrongly. I think their bar staff is excellent in the sense that they're very attentive, friendly, great people. Sometimes there's a few folks there that just don't have the knowledge I wish they had, given what the bar sort of identifies itself as. But in any case, the sister bar to RFD over near DuPont Circle is what used to be, let me make sure I'm saying this right, used to be the Burke Skeller, and now it is the Beer Baron. And I've been there a handful of times. I'll tell you what, I've had a really good time there. It's the diviest of dive places, which I totally dig. I've never been there at night, only during the day, when it's been real slow. They have an awesome bartender, a total, like, California, I imagine him in, like, sort of like a Halt Ashbury, San Francisco. He has like a handlebar mustache, but he's a young guy. Totally cool. They have a pretty good, well, they have a great bottle selection, good tap list, and at least that one bartender who I've dealt with a handful of times has been just so knowledgeable and really, really recommended good beers to me. I really enjoyed myself there, and I think that's a place worth checking out. Although, like I said, it's very, 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 I should say, yeah, dungeonous might be a word. You actually, so it's in the basement of a hotel, and it's kind of cramped and dirty and grimy, but it's so much better for being that way. There's more and more coming online. There's a place called Maddie's Tap House, or maybe it's Tap Room, which is sort of south of Logan Circle. I've been there, and they have a huge tap list. probably not as diverse as church keys, but still good. The run-of-the-mill, like, craft beers are always there. I've liked it the few times I've been there. Another neighborhood restaurant group bar is Rustico. There's none in D.C. There's two Rustico locations. One is here in Alexandria that I visit pretty often. Another is in Boston, which is in Arlington, Virginia. I like Rustico because it has a happy hour. They do, I think it's maybe $1 or $2 off all drafts, and all their craft beer cans are like, well, their typical craft beer cans, not like the specialties, are like, I think like, whatever it is, it's cheap, like $3, $4, so that's pretty cool. Rustico is a good, fun place, and it's actually run by the same people who run Church Key and Church Key's new brewery, Blue Jacket, the neighborhood restaurant group. So Greg Enger actually selects the beers for there, too. So, it's kind of a fun place right now in D.C. Kind of got sidetracked, but that's what the podcast, so this is what the podcast is about, right? So I'm super talking about beer. Like I said, at some point, hopefully we'll talk about things outside of beer. But for our first episode, this is what it's about. I hope for at some point there's interaction with people. Hopefully I can get some guests. Or whatever, if not, then this will just be my thing. I appreciate you listening. I'm going to continue on. Again, if you have the opportunity, I really recommend you check out my blog. It's where this has all started. The blog is a craft beer review blog. This whole thing started there. I first started writing, I think, maybe 2 years ago about craft beer. It's thecraftbeerguru.com. The most recent post was a review of Epic Brewing's Big Bad Baptist, which is a whiskey barrel aged stout. I had it at Church Key, and my God, was it tremendous. And I really like your feedback on my review of that. And you know what? I'd actually like recommendations of it. So since I like that so much, what else would I like? Like, I want this to be a two-way street. In any case, time for another break. I'm going to listen to the Doors for a little bit. Stretch out, maybe refill this beer, try something new. And then I'll be back. Hey, thanks for listening. So hello again. I'm back. Hopefully I'm doing this whole break thing right, or else, well, it's going to be annoying. I have to do the editing to fix this. Funny, not what I was going to talk about, but on my Pandora right now, these zombies are playing. Makes me think of Zombie Dust, Three Floyds, another beer I've never had, but I really just feel out of this world, remarkable. Right now I'm drinking a beer that's probably as bad of a beer that I'm willing to put myself through drinking. It's from the West Coast. It's actually from, I think it's up in Washington somewhere, from a brewery called Nankazi, which otherwise makes decent stuff. I've had their Total Domination IPA, which I liked a lot. Anyway, their seasonal ale right now is called Slayer, which I think is a really good name, because it's Slay, like Christmas Slay, R, Slayer. Hopefully I didn't just drag it out to the point where the humor of the name was totally lost. Although I know I did. In any case, it tastes like every winter warmer I've ever had in my life. Why are these beers all the same? I think this tastes a lot like Trogue's Mad Elf. Just more like dark and maybe a bit more bitter. It's almost like, why are you drinking this, right? But I am, and I tell you what, the reason I'm drinking it, there's a reason. It's not just arbitrary. So, Deschutes just came out with their seasonal stout, Abyss. I had a friend come down, well, didn't necessarily come down to visit me, she came down for work, and she's from the West Coast, she's from Seattle, and I asked her when she was coming down, I was like, hey, can you pick me up some Abyss while you're at home, and then when you fly to my area, you know, bring the Abyss with you. And she said, sure. And she said, Abyss is everywhere. It's easy to find. No big deal. And when she actually arrived, she showed up with this beer. And she said that at the time that she actually looked, she couldn't find the Abyss, but instead she got this Lacazette Slayer. Man, what a wicked disappointment. Because instead of sitting around talking about how much I dislike this particular beer, let's talk about how much I love the shoots. I mean, it's probably not as great for people who are on the West Coast who have it available to them all the time. But for me, man, that's one of my favorite things about going out to Seattle for work is I get the opportunity to drink the Chutes. They have a wet hop beer. Pretty sure it's called Hop Trip. That's one of my favorite beers in the world. I just love Hop Trip. It just has this big juicy bite. Again, it reminds me of what just the beers, the IPAs that have that big, just bursting sort of hop splash, which to me always goes back to Hop Slam by Bell's or Lagunitas like, Sucks, two of my favorite IPAs. They're just great. But in any case, I think right now, before I start sputtering out here, maybe culminate this, maybe not, we'll see. I should probably mention the beer that's on the blog, the Big Bad Baptist. Man, that is such a wonderful stout. Let me tell you, I'm going through like a stout phase, which I think at this time of the year, most people are. You know, the winter seems to be stout time, right? So there's so many good ones out right now, right? Of course, Founders Breakfast Stout, which is just delicious. Kentucky Breakfast Stout, I actually never had it. No, take that back, I think I have had it. I've never had Canadian Breakfast Stout, also by Founders. So I'm sort of shortchanging myself that way. But there's so many things out. Not sure if IRS by Stone is still out, the Imperial Russian Stout. But just tons and tons of really, really, really good stouts. In any case, this particular one by Epic. The big Bad Baptist. It's just, oh, I'd heard it was so good. It's whiskey barrel aged, but what's so good about it is that the whiskey aspect of it. I don't want to say it's subdued because it definitely presents itself as the beer kind of opens up, but it never overwhelms the better characteristics of the beer. Sometimes that happens. I've noticed that when they have bourbon barrel beers or whiskey barrel beers or whiskey chipped beers or whatever the case might be, the whiskey aspect becomes way overdone. In fact, Founders Backwoods Bastard, which people just rave about, I need to age. I actually have one aging right now from this year's vintage. It's just too much. Like the bourbon in it or whatever it might be, it's whiskey. It's just overwhelming. It gave it this big coconut sort of facet that I just didn't dig. Whereas the Big Bad Baptist, it's just so well done. The whiskey just enhances what is already a very, very good stout. So it's just like it adds. So imagine like it adds a little muscle to the punch that's already there. Such a good beer. Thinking of the flavor profile, it to me had a lot. It had a lot of chocolate. It's actually a stout that has coffee in it. I thought the coffee was sort of background for a lot of other flavor aspects. Like I said, chocolate. I got some black licorice, maybe anise. And also a sort of Coca-Cola-ness, you know, kind of like soda, maybe not root beer, but more Coca-Cola. And then, of course, there is that whiskey, but it's there in the background, just helping everything else out. So good. It kind of finished with like this peppery, lingering aftertaste. I can't tell you how much I like that beer, and I really recommend it. Of course, now you've heard mostly what I wrote in the blog, but again, I would love for you to take the time to visit thecraftbeerbrewery.com. And perhaps if you've already heard enough about that beer, go back and read reviews of previous beers that I've had. So, I think at this point, unless I'm going to start talking about the music I'm listening to, I may just do that. You know what? California Dreamin' by the Mamas and Papas is playing right now. And California Dreamin' is exactly what I'm doing. Either via a work opportunity or furthering my education, I sure hope to be on the West Coast next year, particularly in Southern California, preferably the Long Beach area. Speaking of the Long Beach area and beer, man, Is there a better unsung, excuse me, unsung beer producer than Beachwood Barbecue in Long Beach and Seal Beach? Within the little community that I participate in, shout out to the bodybuilding.com, the supplemental, not supplemental, but supplements, as in, you know, bodybuilding supplements. Let me retract a little bit. Let me explain where I'm going here. So, it's kind of funny. Bodybuilding.com is, of course, a website. It has a huge message board. And a large percentage of that message board has nothing at all to do with bodybuilding. I consider myself a bit of an athlete. I run every single day. I run twice a day, in fact, and I lift every other day. But certainly not a bodybuilder. I'm about as little muscle toned as you could probably be. Probably mostly because I have this whole craftbeerguru.com thing going on that does not, you know, go with the whole working out. But in any case, so bodybuilding.com has this message board that's so vibrant and interesting and funny, and almost none of it has anything to do with bodybuilding. One of the threads, which is on a sub board, the sub board is about supplements. So, you know, creatine or protein or all those things that you would think would supplement your bodybuilding. The thread that I participate in is about craft beer. So it's an interesting collection of people. But they're great folks, right? And I almost feel like we know each other just from conversations online. Just you get to know people's personalities at this point. There's a lot of beer trading that goes on. It's a very trustful, just vibrant community. Any case, they had mentioned, I think this is where I was going with it. I get sidetracked, which is what happens when you're talking to a microphone and drinking beer. They were the ones who had mentioned the Big Bad Baptist most passionately. You know what? Another beer that they mentioned that they like a lot, and I remember where I was going now, my bad, is but real quick, a beer that they mentioned is the Evil Twin Imperial Biscotti Break, which I see all the time at my the Whole Foods in D.C., but it's near $20 for a bomber, and I just, oh, it's so hard to do. In any case, back to what I was saying, on the West Coast, bam, a little heirloom. See, this is what it's all about, right? Like, we start talking, I digress, and it's just, it's kind of like, it is what it is. But anyway, Beachwood Barbecue is a microbrewery, in the sense, you know, it's a gastropub. They have their whole barbecue thing going on, which is delicious. Also, they have great food. But out there in Long Beach, on the community, on bodybuilding.com, it's the only place where I've noticed that their beers get the gratitude that they deserve. I'll tell you what. One of the times I was out at Beachwood, I was actually in Long Beach for work, they had Pliny the Elder on tap. You know, Russian River is a very esteemed beer. I drank it and I loved it. Great beer. They also had their house IPA. They have better IPAs than this, but this is the run-of-the-mill IPA, maybe an Imperial IPA, I'm not sure, called Hop Jitsu. And my God, I actually thought Hop Jitsu was better than Pliny. And then since then, on bodybuilding.com, on the thread I'm talking about, they drink this beer called, also from Beachwood, called Melrose, which is supposed to be even more out of this world. So, Beachwood Barbecue, all the shout-outs in the world, such a great, great place. And I've had not only great beer there, but I've enjoyed myself there. Just the staff has always been really fun, and Long Beach is just a great, laid-back community. It's funny, I'm, like I said, via work or via education, I'm trying to get to the West Coast, and I'm trying to get to the L.A. area in particular. And when I tell people I'm trying to move to L.A., they think of, you know, Los Angeles, and they think, you know, maybe very competitive, fake, you know, a lot of adjectives that are probably very true for Los Angeles. And it's funny because I tell people that the reasons I'm trying to leave D.C. are all of those things. Like, I'm tired of fake people, I'm tired of competitiveness, I'm tired of just the grind. So when I say I'm trying to get to L.A., a lot of people are confused by why would we leave one place for the same thing? But Long Beach, Seal Beach, Manhattan Beach, Huntington, totally different than Los Angeles proper. Such beach communities. The office, the field office that my particular work has out in Long Beach is just the opposite. They do the same, basically the same things out in Long Beach that we do in D.C. Except for in D.C., everyone's in suits and ties. I, of course, am not because I'm a slacker. I at least press my clothes, never wear a tie. Out in Los Angeles, people are in, I don't think they come in flip-flops and board shorts, but basically. It's just so laid back and cool and a great time and interesting. And of course, the beer scene out there is, it is what it is. And speaking of West Coast beers, the things that, the beers that I can't get that I want the most isn't even Russian River. You know, like I said, I've had Pliny. I would love to try Pliny the Younger. What I really want to get my hands on, and I could if I were to really start participating in a trading game, but I'd rather just get, I want to get out there and just purchase it for myself, is Alpine. I've heard Alpine is just out of this world, and I'd like to find out. Also on the West Coast, a place, there's two places I'd be remiss not to mention. Two of my favorite places, two of the places I look forward to the most when I go out to Long Beach, is Naja's Place, which is an awesome little dive bar in Redondo Beach. It's the epitome of California to me. It sits in like the Redondo Beach marina, and it's kind of like under a walkway. It's totally open air, just awesome. All they make is really greasy, as far as food goes, it's just really greasy, like off the hot stove griddle, cheesesteak type of things. But they're beerless. They have a wall of taps that's maybe 30 beers deep, and then it curves, not curves, but actually abruptly turns to the whichever direction, left or right. And then there's another like 30 beers taps going that direction, and they have a marker board above that. And I could probably look through the pictures I have on my phone. I think totally they have maybe like 80 beers on tap, and it's just great. Like, man, an L. Smith Speedway stout out there, which is one of my favorite beers. For a long time, I had Pliny. I mean, they literally, if it's available on the West Coast, it's definitely a Naja's Place on tap. And then another place I just adore is Huntington Beach, and actually kind of a chain, so there's a handful of them. It's a place called Slater's 5050, which has a great, great beer list, a really good beer list. I can't tell you how many taps they have, probably 25, 26, they're all great. But what's cool about it, it's called 5050, it's a burger joint, but the 5050 part is that the burgers are made out of 50% beef and 50%, brace yourself, ground bacon. It's the most delicious thing ever. Of course, you don't have to get, you can get a regular burger, but then, so you can just order that burger, you know, as it would come on a bun or whatever. But the cool thing is to go through their list, you get like a little piece of paper with all the ingredients they possibly have in their kitchen, and you can create your own burger. So I normally do like a lettuce wrapped 50-50, half bacon, half ground beef burger with, I think I've done like, oh god, onion, you can put like peanut butter on there if you want to, maybe some avocado. I mean, this list is diverse, it's just all check boxes, you check the ones that you want, then you give it a name, they deliver it with that name. And I usually name mine after something to do with my alma mater, USF, so I usually call it the bull, I think. But so California has so much to offer. So today we've talked about a couple places in California I really like. A beer I don't particularly like, but I'm going to continue to drink it, which is Mikazi's Slayer. We've talked about another place I do like, because I'm here, where I like enough that I haven't ran away yet, D.C., and its best craft beer bar, Church Key, and a handful of other places. We've talked about the Big Badge Baptist by Epic Brewing, which is actually reviewed on my blog, thecraftbeerguru.com. Check that out. We got some Beatles playing in the background. Actually, a song I don't know. I'm going to skip ahead. See what plays next. Maybe the two carry us to our end. Talked a little West Coast. Talked, interesting. So my Pandora has decided, not my Pandora, I should blame it on them. My other computer decided to freeze, so maybe I'll never know what song will take us to the end, or maybe it'll just be silence or an advertisement that's appropriate. In any case, I hope you enjoyed this first episode. Lots of sort of hijinks for you to have to deal with. We'll get this down. I'll make this really good. Hopefully there'll be some conversation. And hopefully you guys will participate. Leave me a comment on my blog. Otherwise, just be in touch. What were you yelling? Let's make this a fun thing for us to do. Hey, thanks for listening. And this was the CraftBeerGuru.com podcast. Thanks a lot. Good night. Cheers.